Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to you from the corridor in the courthouse. In just a few moments, we'll enter the courtroom for today's case of Order in the Court.
In New York City?
Yes, Your Honor. In a little three-room apartment uptown.
You're married?
Yes, sir. I have two children, a boy 6 and a little girl 5.
What's your business?
I've got a little restaurant uptown. I used to be a hacker. Then I had a little fleet of cabs. Well, maybe not a fleet. I controlled 8 cabs. But that business got smashed up. I had a little left out of the crash, about $1,300. And so I bought a half interest in this restaurant.
All right. What's your problem?
Well, you see, it's like this, Your Honor. When I was going pretty good with my cabs, I was down to see a lawyer one day, and there was a girl working for him. Well, she and I went for one another at first sight. Inside of 3 months, we got married. Then came the ups and downs, but we weathered them okay. Until one day, about 2.5 months ago, I came home from the restaurant in Myrtle. That's my wife. Well, we were sitting in the living room and she tells me she's got some news for me. All right, honey. What is the news?
I'm going out tomorrow and look for a job, Dad.
Oh, no. That's not news. That's a pipe dream.
You think so?
You know darn well it is.
Well, I told you that I'm going out tomorrow and look for a job.
Oh, stop it, Mary. Don't talk foolish.
It isn't foolish, Dad. I'm serious. I've made up my mind, so you might just as well get used to the idea.
Yeah? What's brought this on, honey?
Well, I've been thinking about it for some time.
You didn't think it was important enough to talk to me about?
What good would it have done? I've heard your views on the subject enough to know what you'd say.
I get you. My views are all wet.
About this, they are, honey. Oh, don't quarrel with me about it, Dan.
You've decided you married a washout, and you want to rub it in.
You have to be like that, Dan. You know that isn't true.
All right. Suppose I haven't been a howling success. Suppose I haven't lived up to what I promised you. A big apartment on Riverside Drive and a limousine. Is it my fault? Did I lie to you when I told you I was going places? I was going places, wasn't I? I'd have got there if they hadn't ganged up on me and pushed me to the wall.
All right, Dan, all right.
No, it isn't all right. I worked to build up that hack business, didn't I? I had it going great. 8 cabs I had out. And I was about ready to sit on top of the world. Then the big shot stepped in and crucified me.
Nobody's blaming you for that, Dan.
I can't get near a station or a hotel or a ferry landing. And they sideswipe my cabs on the street. Well, how do you expect one guy to fight 1,000? Or a few $1,000 to fight millions? If they'd left me alone, you'd have had your apartment. You'd have had a limousine. I had diamonds and a mink coat, too.
All right, honey. Now, quiet down, will you?
Oh, well, it's...
I know what happened, and I know it wasn't your fault. Did I ever once say it was?
No, you were swell, Mert. You know I think that.
Well, I stuck with you, didn't I? I didn't complain when we had to live those 3 months in that awful starlight room.
I know. I know. You took it on the chin like a champion, honey. Oh, but this talk of going to work. Right when I'm all set to make a comeback. Oh, Mike, you can't do it. Now, that's all there is to it. It ain't just you and me any longer. We've got the kids in there. They're growing up. We need you, Michael. Why do you think I kept on plugging when the brakes went against us?
The brakes are still against us, Dan. The brakes are against them.
Now, that's not true, Michael. We're managing to keep our heads above water. This apartment ain't so hot, I'll admit that, but then there's worse. You give me another 2 years and I'll be making good money with that restaurant. Then maybe I can open another one. Maybe someday I'll have a whole chain of them.
And have the big boys push you to the wall again?
I get it. I get it. You've lost confidence in me. You think I'm a pushover. Just a little shot with big ideas.
Oh, stop it, Dan. Did I say anything like that? You know darn well I didn't. I couldn't say anything like that because I don't believe it. Why don't you ever try looking at things from my point of view? Just once, Dan. Here we are, married 7 years, And we're worse off than when we started out.
Oh, yeah? I guess the kids don't count.
Certainly the children count, and it's them as much as myself I'm thinking about. Is this all you want for them when they grow older?
I'm going to give them better than this, I've told you.
But you can't be sure, Dan. And in the meantime, what are we to do for clothes?
I'll give you all I can, Mark.
That isn't very much, Dan. Oh, be sensible, honey. I've been patient. I've never grumbled or complained. But wake up, Dan. We're getting old, you and I. I've fulfilled a woman's obligations. I've had two children. I've nursed them, slaved for them, stayed at home with them. All right. Now I'm entitled to something for myself before I die. Some decent clothes, some friends, some parties. Look at me. Shabby. Lines beginning to come in my face. My eyes getting dull and tired. I tell you, I'm not ready for that. I'm going to get a job whether you like it or not. I was before we got married, and I guess I can do it again.
Hello? Yeah, she's here. It's for you.
Oh. Hello? Oh, hello, Eve. Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Sure. Sure, tomorrow. I'll stop by your place in the morning and get the dress. 8 o'clock, be all right? Sure. Oh, all right. Bye.
What was that part about the dress?
She said she'd lend me one.
You've been lying to me, Myrtle, haven't you? You've already got a job.
Yes, sir.
Where?
At a dress shop on 58th Street, as if in August.
What about the children? Who's going to take care of them?
Marie down the hall said she'd look after them. I'll have to pay her $5 a week.
How much salary are they paying you?
$25 a week.
I see. Well, I'll be going on back down to the restaurant. Good night.
Good night.
Little apartment you got here, sis.
Well, it's about time we had something a little better.
Yeah, I know.
Where have you been keeping yourself for the last 6 months?
Oh, trying to make a go of that restaurant.
You succeeding?
Well, it's fair. Listen, sis. What I came over to see you about today was... Well, you reckon that husband of yours could make me a loan? $1,000?
Oh, Dan, you know he can't.
Well, I just thought maybe.
That bank, he had his money and only paid off 50 cents on the dollar. Of course, they say we'll get some more eventually, but I wouldn't want to make a bet on it. Of course, Joe's got a pretty good job now, but, well, you know how it is. He hasn't got anything laid by.
Okay, sis.
What do you want for the $1,000, Dad?
Well, this partner of mine's willing to sell me his half of the business, if I can give him cash. I'd like to do it, too. Because I think if I could run things my way, I could make more money. I gotta make more money.
Myrtle gonna have another baby, Dad?
No, it's not that. She's gone to work. Started 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, why not, Dan?
Because I don't like it.
Who's taking care of the children?
Some dumb girl that lives in the building. Of course, I don't think she'd kill either one of the kids. Intentionally, that is. She's about as intelligent as this chair I'm sitting in.
Where's Myrtle working?
She's secretary for some guy named Langley. He's got a dress shop down on 58th Street.
Oh, yes, I know it. I can't afford to buy anything there, but it's an awfully smart shop.
Well, I don't care what it is. I wish he'd cut it out and stay home.
I know.
Well, I gotta run, sis. Gotta get back to the restaurant. Maybe I can get some banker, something to advance me the dough.
I wish you luck.
Thanks, sis. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, look, Carson, I haven't been able to raise that cash yet, but I think maybe another month or two I can swing it.
All right, Dan. The offer's still good.
Thanks. And here's my proposition. You give me a sort of an option on your half for 2 months, and let me start running the show my way for that length of time.
Yeah? What do you want to do?
Well, it's like this, Carson. I think we've been trying to make this place too much of a class joint.
Yeah?
Sure. Trying to shoot for the wrong kind of clientele. Now, here's my idea. I'd like to forget all about the family trade. Go for a lot of business.
Meaning just what?
Just this. Now, you see, I'm an ex-hacker.
All right.
Hackers have to eat, and they know good substantial food. No fancy prices, mind you. But you get hackers going to a place for coffee and hamburgers, and you can bet your bottom dollars there's a reason. Now, if we can start specializing on hamburgers and beef stew, no cheap meat in it either, but the best, I've got a hunch we can double our intake before a month's out. And I can get them started coming here. I know plenty of them. And if we produce what they like, they'll be sending others. Well, what do you say?
I don't know, Dan. Let me think it over till tomorrow.
Okay. And if you want to, go take a look at that place on 110th Street. See the kind of business they're getting.
Okay. Might not be a bad idea.
That's a swell idea. You'll see it is. Well, if it's oak with you, I'm going to knock off and go home for a little evening visit with the family for a change. I'll be back around 10 or 10:30.
All right, Dan. See you later.
Look at Emily, Daddy. She fell down.
I did not. You pushed me.
Daddy, come on and play with us.
Marie.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't my wife give you any idea of what time she'd be home?
No, sir. She just said she had to work late and for me to give Billy and Emily their supper.
Oh, come on and play with us, Daddy.
Why does Mother have to work late, Daddy?
I don't know, Emily.
I bet when I grow up, I won't work late.
Here, Emily, catch this.
Oh, stop it, Billy. Stop doing things at me. Daddy, make him stop it.
Stop it, Billy.
Oh, I wasn't doing anything. Stop looking out the window, Daddy, and come and play with it.
Marie.
Yes, sir.
Has my wife ever asked you before to give the children their supper because she had to work late?
Yes, sir. Once.
When was that?
Last week.
I see.
Read me a story, Daddy.
No, not now, Emily. Oh, Marie, take the children back to their rooms and put them to bed.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, Daddy.
Is Mother coming, Daddy?
Yes, she's coming in the building now. Come on, you run along with Marie. Your mother will come in later and tell you good night. Come on, now, run, the both of you.
I don't want to go to bed.
Yes, you
want. Come on.
Hello, Myrtle.
What on earth are you doing home this time of night?
I just thought I'd like to have a little visit with my family for a change.
Well, where are the children?
I just sent them back to their room. Marie's putting them to bed.
I see. Well, this is quite a surprise.
Who was it drove you home in that million-dollar car?
Oh, well, that was Mr. Langley.
Yeah?
Well, now, you needn't act like that about it.
Act like what? I just said yeah.
That wasn't what you were thinking. Why shouldn't he have driven me home? I had to work late, so he took me to dinner and then brought me home in his car.
Well, is this the first time?
Well, no. Took me to a movie one night last week. To the Capitol. So what? I suppose you think you're the injured husband.
Now listen, Myrtle. We've always played fair with each other. There's been no cheating. I don't want you to let this Langley guy bring you home anymore.
Oh, don't be silly, Dan. Mr. Langley's a gentleman. He's been very kind to me.
Yeah? Listen, honey, I didn't drive a hack all those years for nothing. I know harmless birds like him are.
Oh, stop talking like that, will you? I believe you're jealous.
Well, it don't matter what I am or what I'm not. Just don't let that guy start taking you out.
You're really so silly, honey. I'm going in and see that the children get to bed.
Okay. I'm going back to the restaurant. Before I start smashing things. Hey, sounds pretty good in there, don't it, Carson?
Yeah, I guess you had the right idea, Dan.
I'll say I did. Well, I'm going to walk out on you for a little while.
Yeah? What's up?
Oh, I got a little personal business to attend to down on 58th Street.
Another banker?
No, something else. But I'm going to get it, Carson. Don't you forget that. This joint's going to belong to me.
Okay, fella. That's okay by me. I want to go out west.
Hey, Mac. You the driver of this truck?
So what's it to you?
You got me wrong, buddy. I ain't looking for no fight. I'm looking for a job.
Oh, well, don't go looking for mine. It's too tough finding another.
Yeah, you said it. How long you been driving that truck for Langley?
Oh, about a year now.
They don't need another driver, do they?
No, not just now they don't.
How is he? Pretty good to work for?
Oh, sure, he's okay.
Yeah? What sort of a guy is he?
Oh, you know, one of these big shots, plenty of jack, likes to play around. He's a good spender, they say.
Yeah? Maybe I could get a job chauffeuring for him.
He's had the same guy for 10 years.
Yeah? How old a guy is he?
Oh, about 50, I guess.
Married?
Renovated. He's doing a single right now.
I get you. Well, I'll stop by again one day next week. If anything turns up, keep me in mind, will you?
Okay, buddy, but don't count on nothing.
No, I won't.
You have to wake me up for?
Well, I just got in. I want to talk to you.
Oh, go to bed. I've got to get my sleep, Dan.
Well, before you go back to sleep, where'd you get that new dress hanging out in the closet?
Oh, go to bed.
You didn't buy that dress, Michael. I'm not that dumb. Nobody buys dresses like that on any $25 a week salary.
You're awfully smart, aren't you?
Well, a lot smarter than you seem to think here lately. Now, I'm willing to skip this dress business if you'll take it back in the morning to the guy that gave it to you. And tell him you're through working in his place.
Have you lost your mind?
I don't intend to lose it, Michael.
No? Well, stop jumping to conclusions. That dress was one that had been modeled and gotten soiled. Well, Mr. Langley asked me if I'd like to have it. You think I'm sharp enough to say no?
You're going to be wise enough to take it back to
I'll
him.
I'll do no such thing, Dad.
No man's going to give my wife any clothes.
Stop acting like a child. I'm going to keep that dress and I'm going to wear it. And if you don't like it, it's just too bad. When you make enough out of your dinky little restaurant to pay for dresses like that one, then you can come around and preach, but not before.
Is that so?
It most certainly is. Who is it bought our children new outfits these last 6 weeks? Not you. And their clothes weren't given to me either, mister. I worked for those clothes, earned the money to buy them with, and not 1 cent did I ask you for. So go to bed.
Myrtle, if you don't take that dress back to Langley in the morning, I will. That dress is still here when I get up tomorrow. I'll see that he gets it back. And he'll be lucky if I don't cram it down his throat in the bargain.
Oh, you make me tired. I'm not going to argue with you any longer.
Well, you heard what I said.
Oh, go to sleep.
To sleep. To sleep. Say, do you know whether or not my wife took a dress with her when she went to work this morning?
Yes, sir. She said tell you she took it.
Okay. Well, take good care of the children, Mike.
Yes, sir.
All right, I took the dress back, didn't I?
You're darn right you did.
Well, now, don't still be cross about it, because I'm going to tell you just how badly you misjudged Mr. Langley.
I didn't misjudge that old goat. I know plenty about
him. Oh, stop it, Dan. Do you know what he said when I took the dress back and told him you wouldn't let me accept favors like that?
I can imagine what he said and just how he said it.
Well, now, that's where you're wrong. You can't. He said he was terribly sorry you misunderstood his intentions, but he thought you'd rather like for people to be kind to your wife.
Oh, yeah? That's just too sweet, ain't it?
All right, he meant it, too. And then we got to talking about you. And I told him how hard you were working and what a tough break you'd had with your cab. And how you were so anxious to buy out Carson.
So he broke down and cried, I guess.
Well, he became very interested and said he'd like to help you along.
Oh, yeah? I'm not going to like what's coming.
No? Well, he said he'd be glad to lend you the $1,000.
I knew it. I knew it. I hope you told him what he could do. That he could take his lousy $1,000.
Will you stop it?
The You may be blind or dumb or both, but I'm not. You think I'm crazy, Myrtle?
When somebody wants to help you and you won't let them, it begins to look like it.
And why does he want to help me? Why does he offer me $1,000? Does he think that's all you're worth? Why didn't you slap him in the face? What are you? Just a 5 and 10 cent store bargain? Just a cheap little tramp? Oh, Myrtle. Myrtle, what's happened to you? What's changed you? I don't want to say anything I'll be sorry for, Myrtle, but... Oh, but you and I, honey, we're standing on the edge of a precipice.
Well, if we are, whose fault is it?
I wish I knew.
It's your stupid jealousy and suspicions and false pride.
No. No, it isn't, Myrtle.
Mr. Langley didn't say he'd give you the money. He said lend it.
If you mention that again, I'll slap you.
All right. All right, Dad. Time you went on down to your restaurant, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it is. Okay.
Home early again, huh?
I've done it, Myrtle. I own the restaurant. You just signed the papers. The banks gave me a loan this afternoon.
Oh, that's swell, Dad.
Well, can't you do any better than that? I thought it sort of called for a celebration. Dinner and a show.
Oh, I'm afraid that's out of the question tonight.
Yeah? Oh, look, Myrtle. Here's our chance, honey. You can quit your job now. I'll forget all the fights we ever had. You forget everything I've said, and let's start out all over again. We'll bury these last 2 months. Oh, please, Myrtle. Look at me. Let's celebrate tonight.
I told you I can't, Dad.
No? Why not?
Well, I've got a date.
I see.
No, you don't see. I'm going out with Eve and some friends of hers to the movies.
Oh.
Well, don't you trust me?
Sure, honey. Don't put it like that. Sure, I trust you. Go ahead.
I won't be out so very late. Are you going to stay home?
Yeah. As long as I've taken the night off, I'll stay here and play with the kids and then listen to the radio.
All right. Night.
Good night.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, kid.
Where's Mother gone?
Daddy doesn't know, Emily. Daddy wonders if he knows anything at all.
Maybe you'd still be up, Dan.
Yeah, still up.
Come on in, Dan.
Thank you.
Dan, this is Mr. Langley.
How do you do? Hello.
Sit down, Dan.
Why is this man in my house?
Well, now, please.
Why is this man in my house?
Don't start any dramatics, Dan. I've come to tell you that I'm leaving.
Till death do us part.
Oh, stop it, Dan. Mr. Langley and I love each other. You and I, we made a mistake, Dan. Let's admit it and end it. Jim and I are going to sail for Paris tomorrow. We'll get the divorce there.
Yes, and everything will be arranged very pleasantly, old man. I've made out a check to amply provide for the children until we come back.
Of course, they'll expect you to agree to share the children with me. 6 months with us. Six with you.
Surely that's fair, isn't it? Oh, come now, be decent, old man. Your wife's been extremely fair. She didn't want to deceive you. That's why we're here. You surely want to meet her halfway, don't you? We can meet these situations like decent, intelligent people.
Decent. Get out of here before I kill you. Get out. Get out. If you leave with this man, Myrtle, you'll never see either of your children again. Get out! Get out before I kill you! They postponed their trip to France. Myrtle moved to a hotel. They have my final answer. Should I change it, Your Honor? Should I let her have her divorce and share the children with her? Thank you.
My dear sir, briefly, here is my advice. Let your ultimatum stand. If your wife wishes to give up her children and obtain an ethically fraudulent divorce in Paris, that is her privilege. Surely if she can do that, you and she never could have found a real happiness together. There is tragedy for you, yes, and the children. But the world will never be free from tragedy. That is my advice.
We are once again talking to you from the corridor as the courtroom is emptying. We hope that you'll join with us again when we return for the next session of Order in the Courts.